Gary Tangway, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Gary, good afternoon.
Richie, how are you, my boy?
Top of the world, living the dream, my friend. What's happening with you?
Well, you know, we're coming off the draft. The quarterback thing kind of threw us for a loop. Postmortem on the Celtics. You know, Scalabrini's got a great podcast up talking about if the Celtics could get Jimmy Butler, then you could get Durant. And the Sox, much to our dismay, are playing well.
Well, let's start with the Patriots in the draft, and I don't know, any way you slice it, it was kind of anticlimactic without the first rounder this year. There wasn't much buzz.
Well, yeah, I mean it was, and God, you know, when you've been around, I don't mean to go old, I've been around long enough to know any, but you know, I've just seen so many guys come in that you've never heard of, and you know, no one was making a big deal out of David Gibbons when he was drafted in the seventh round out of Notre Dame. He was a running back. And, you know, he went on to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated and win Super Bowls and make a lot of money with Tennessee before injury ruined his career. And, you know, then you had guys like Chad Jackson out of Florida who did nothing. You know, the one thing from this draft is that I don't know, Rich. You know, I haven't like broken down the film of offensive line play at North Carolina State. You know, but the lineman they got there, Thuney, I mean, he seems to be someone who fulfills a need, and he's versatile. From what I read, he didn't play center in college, but Dante said he could play center, or they've worked him out at center and guard, and he said he's going to play inside. Now, I know it's not sexy, but versatility on the offensive line killed the Patriots last year, without question. They had guys who could play center but couldn't play guard. They had guys who could play guard but couldn't play center. They had a center who they had to play at right tackle, and it really hurt them. And one of the reasons the Patriots have been so successful over the years is they've always had a guy like a Russ Hochstein or someone who could play, you know, who could snap and it's no big deal, who could play guard, you know, and hopefully this guy will fulfill that need. It's very important, especially as Brady gets older. So, you know, I look at that and I go, you know, and Dante we trust, you know, because Belichick's not picking a guy unless Dante gives him the nod, you know, and Dante's got a pretty good track record.
Gary, with the pick of Jacoby Brissett, that gives him, what, a four-week tryout as a number two before he heads back to the practice squad?
I'm sorry, can you speak up on that?
Yeah, I was just saying about Jacoby Brissett getting an opportunity with the Patriots with Brady out. That means he'll be backing up Garoppolo and be on the active roster for at least four weeks.
Right. Yes. You know, that was really interesting. I wrote today on the website that, you know, Brady outlived his replacement because now his replacement's probably, you know, his replacement is seeing them draft his replacement. You're absolutely right. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if they brought in, if indeed Brady serves the four games, which I think, I know he's hired some more legal guns and he's going to try like hell not to get a stay, but I don't think he's going to get it. They're going to have to bring in a veteran, though. I mean, to me, they can't have Garoppolo as your starter and then have Brissett as your backup, you know, went behind the ears. They're going to bring in some veteran, some dude who's been around, you know, looking for a gig.
We're talking to Gary Tangway, Comcast Sportsnet New England. I mentioned the Celtics and at Scal's podcast, and it's an interesting time here for the Celtics with the playoffs done, a surprising year, and now all kinds of speculation. You hear names like Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant. Right. What do you think this team will do in the offseason?
They're going to do everything they can, you know, because they're stuck in purgatory. They got as much out of this team as they possibly could. They got a horrible matchup in the first round, and they faced a team that was their kryptonite, but they got to make a deal. I mean, I don't think that Danny can stand pat. The kids out of the draft take so long to develop, and it's not easy, but he's got to try to make a move. And Scal doesn't just make up the Jimmy Butler thing. I mean, he's pretty tight to himself. So that's a name that, well, Danny has really tried to get, and, you know, Chicago could be in rebuilding mode. So I think that's something they're going to try to make a play on. I think he'll talk to Al Horford during free agency, even though he didn't have a great series against them. And they'll talk to Durant. They'll go hard after Durant. They'll do everything they can. And from what I've been told, Durant will, you know, he's going to listen to everybody. I still think it's tough for the Celts to get him, though. You know, but if Danny can pull off the Butler deal and then try to sway Durant, that's not crazy. It could happen. He's going to swing for the fences, but I think he's going to have to swing for the fences. He's going to have to cash in the chips this summer and try to make that deal. Because it was a great ride, but, you know, you don't want to go back. If you go back to the playoffs again and lose again in the first round, you know, the gritty, the charming, the hardworking shtick is going to wear off. It's going to be like kissing your sister.
Gary, Boston is typically not a destination point for NBA free agents, but the Celtics probably have one of the best bargaining chips out there in Brad Stevens. Would you agree?
I agree, and it really surprises me because I didn't think the NBA player today cared about coaching, but there are some that do, and Durant is one. And there are guys that look at Stevens and they go, this guy knows what he's doing. No doubt. And he's done it. He's been able to respect the players. The players like him. They play for him. There's been no issues. You know, once they were able to get rid of Rondo, they were able to really put forth a good team effort. So I agree. The problem is, coach, we help you get there, but you need players. So, like, say Durant says, I love the coach, and I love the Celts, and it looks like a great city, and I want to play in the Eastern Conference because I want to get away from Golden State, and I want to get away from San Antonio. And he comes here, and he's all alone. You know, he's still – and Isaiah is a nice player, but he still needs that other guy, you know, the kind of wingman that a Jimmy Butler would be. So while I think Brad's very attractive, I don't know if he's going to be enough for Durant.
Hey, so Gary, on the Red Sox, 2 weeks ago we were trying to figure out which day in May John Farrell would get fired. Now, after beating the god-awful Atlanta Braves and the Yankees, who have no offense, suddenly we got pennant fever. What's the real story?
Well, I think you just said it, Rich. I mean, you're a baseball geek from way back. You know they haven't beaten anybody. I mean, I think I get telling your question. The Braves stink, and the Yankees can't hit. So you're like, show me something. You know, the thing, I guess what's amazing is what the first and second starters haven't pitched that great, and they're in first place. So there's reason for optimism with the team. They got some very good players. You know, I hope Henry Owens can find his way. I hope he can stick. I hope, you know, Erod eventually can do some things. I hope we start to see some things with the youth. And Porcello's been okay. I mean, I predicted he's not going to be terrible like he was at the beginning of last year. He'll just be himself and be all right. But I guess let's wait and see what happens when things get tough. But so far, Farrell's okay.
Am I wrong to completely despise Clay Buchholz?
Oh, no, not at all. Because it's so frustrating because of the ability he has. And he just doesn't seem to care. He just doesn't have that eye of the tiger. You're not wrong. It's very frustrating, Rich. It's very, very frustrating because you see the stuff and you go, my gosh. You know, and then, you know, he goes out and he throws a stinker and somebody asks him about it. And he goes, guys, it's early. Well, even Clay, it's not early with you. This has been going on for a long, long time. And you see the ability he has. And it just seems to me, and I'm sure this is the root of your frustration, he just doesn't seem to care. He doesn't seem to put the work in.
I'm with you there. Hey, I want to ask you before we let you go. We had Bobby Russell in earlier, and they're bringing back Memorial Day weekend as a special 3-day treat. The old Z62 rock and roll radio. I know. The jocks are coming back. The music's coming
back.
Humble,
but nonetheless around.
Humble will be there. Chuck Foster. They're all coming back.
Daily dose of vitamin O?
Yes, yeah. All going to be there. So I wanted to ask you, because you were just getting started back in those days, and I asked Bobby this. Do you remember the first song you played on the radio as a DJ?
It was at WRUM in Rumford, Maine. I had to play a lot of opera. I don't know
Ooh.
If that counts.
Wow.
But for some reason, this I don't know if it is, but December 1963, What a Night by the Four Seasons sticks in my head, but
nice.
It's a guess.
And that would have been, was that on a record, or was that on a
Oh, that was on a record. Oh, of course it was on a record. Where are you?
It was, because I started on a country station, the old WBGW back in the day.
Oh, yeah, God, oh, yeah.
I think
I'm going to hire a whiner to decorate our home.
Don't I wish? Yeah, little David Frizzell and Shelley West. I think it was actually Tanya Tucker is the man that turned my mama on.
Oh, God, Tanya Tucker. What an angel.
Yes, yes, sweetheart.
I think she made a trip to the Roundup once or twice. I don't know.
She may have. Yeah, I had a little tangle with Tanya back in the day.
What did my pal Bobby Russell say? What was his first record? Did you remember?
What did Bobby say it was? Now I've forgotten. It wasn't that long ago.
Right.
It was last hour, but.
It's a great question, man. Great question.
There you go, reminiscing. Hey, Gary, always fun talking with you. Thanks, bud. We'll see you soon.
Hey, guys, we'll see you later. Take care.